Welcome to the second season of All About Thailand from Lonely Traveller Productions. And may I say, welcome to Thailand.
Sawadee krap.
And welcome to the rest of the world. Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody is just fine. And today, what I have decided to talk about is Isan, one of Thailand's largest sort of provinces, which is up in the northeast, borders Laos and Cambodia. And I think we have obviously the Mekong River that separates. It's a beautiful part of Thailand. Well, I just love Isan. Whenever I land at Udon Airport, I am just so excited to be there. There are places, temples, everything about it, I can't even begin to say. And it is very, very different to like the cities and everything else like that. And the people are extremely, extremely friendly. They're friendly all over Thailand, but they seem even more friendly in Isan. And as we know, there was a slight difference in the dialect, in the way that people talk, and even I've sort of learned to pick up a few of the sort of sayings, you know, that they say over in Isan, you know. Say as an example, really, if you were to say how are you, you obviously say it in sort of central Thailand, it's
sabai di mai.
But the difference is with it's only a little difference, really. And obviously you guys are sort of screaming it out now, the other side, I can hear you. It is, and Isan is
sabai di bo.
Yeah, it's great. And one thing I found is that when I was first starting to learn to speak Thai, I was up in Isan. And, you know, I was just going to a cafe hon, you know, a hot coffee, okay? And then when I was going down to Bangkok, I was saying, cafe hon cup. And they said, oh, Isan. It bugged me for quite some time. I thought, well, why are they saying this? It's because in Isan, they say, cafe hon. Yeah, al cafe hon. But in Bangkok or other parts of Thailand, central Thailand, cafe long. Crazy. Got a bit called out by that, but yeah, it's good. I like the differences, it's good. Well, it's now come to that sort of time in the show to welcome our new listeners and to say thank you to our existing listeners. Everything is going here for us is relatively good. Obviously, the situation in Bangkok with the illness is increasing. Bangkok has gone into lockdown, and we have decided that we'd like in some way to help the people of Bangkok. We do have I'll put a link in below to a registered charity that gives money to the people of Bangkok to help them with food and shelter, and other people in Thailand as well, because getting that to a bit of a crisis point. Anyway, I shall carry on now and talk about Isan. Yeah, my time in Isan. Okay, now before I start, the Bangkok Community Help Foundation has a Facebook page, so just look on that and you can find out about all the ways that people are being helped and more, and possibly help as well. Okay, now Isan. The people of Isan, the Isan people, and I suppose the pronunciation is that Isan, it's basically a group that is sort of native to the northeast of Thailand. You know, in a broader sense, anyone who comes from 20 northeastern sort of provinces of Thailand can be called Isan, and in the narrower sense, the term refers to sort of ethnic Lao who make up majority of the population. I like to say sort of Lao and sort of like Laotian, that kind of thing. I mean, sort of like after a failed Lao rebellion in about 1826, the region sort of like witnessed a mass forced population sort of transfer, really, of ethnic Lao into Isan, following the separation of Isan from the sort of historical Lao sort of kingdom, and just like a one sort of like a massive sort of migration from Lao over to Isan. So they would have like crossed the Mekong River, and you know, and obviously I suppose really when Lao lost its royal family, I suppose, or its, in a sense, they and turned to communism. So it's everybody sort of moved over. So really it's like a sort of mixture, you know, it is like a mixture of languages, really. And they all moved to Isan, and I could only imagine to work in the farms and everything, and to do things like that. Well, you know, sort of history, it's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? Now, if you're like me, you like the food. And I find that the food in Isan is different, especially in the especially in the villages. You know, it's the use of fish oil even in chicken dishes, which is a sort of like a constant bugbear for me, really, because I don't like fish oil. So all the time I'm saying my own namblar, and yet I still get the fish oil in there. And but really, I suppose we were going back to the sort of like the Isan rice, back to the rice bowl of the world, in a sense. You've got the sticky rice, which is, you know, is had cold, really. They no doubt you've seen people do is when the farmers they pack it into like little wooden cylindrical baskets, and they eat that when they stop and have a rest. You know, it's and you don't really use a fork. It's all eating with your hands out there, you see. And you got a popular sort of dish is som tam, which they put and bash with a pestle and mortar, And that's basically, you got some dam, you got spicy, spicy sort of papaya salad, you know, shredded green papaya, green beans, tomatoes, peanuts and lime. Yeah, you could have dried shrimp in there, garlic, chili peppers, you know, palm sugar. My favourite thing, fish sauce as well, that can go in there. And, you know, like I said, it's all sort of put into a pestle and mortar and crushed and then sort of served, really, yeah. And you've got lan and nam tok, lamb, which is a ground meat, and nam tok, which is made and it's like sliced grilled meat and with a mixture of sort of like lime juice, and you know, and the fish sauce ends up in that as well, which is surprising. And you know, I like my chicken. I do like my chicken, and you do find out in Isan on the roadsides, you see these grills where they're sort of grilling the chicken, gayang, where they're sort of like grilling that chicken in nice, and you can just stop off and get it. But you get they grill pork neck, and they grill fish on there as well, especially like the Mekong River fish, and then you've got sort of like the fried chicken gai tor, you know, which is really quite nice as well. And you find I think what gets me is obviously like being born in England is that moo is pork. You know, we would think moo is cow because a cow makes a moo noise, but moo out there is pork. And a moo ping is basically just a grilled pork on a stick, and that's quite handy if you sort of like you want to sort of just run off and run down. And then there's I have tried the Isan sausage. It's mainly pork and a rice sausage. It's all sort of mixed in together. You know, when I had it, when it was fried, and I bit into it, and you know, lots of juices sort of went everywhere. But you know, that's just a slight idea of the types of food that you can get in Isan. You know, it's just absolutely fantastic. And the weather as well is slightly cooler up there. It does get cold. My wife Kung moans when it gets to about 19. She says it's too cold, and as we all know, that's nowhere near cold. Well, as you know, it's that time for a story, and I know how much you like the stories. Now, it was pretty much my first time up in Isan, and gone to Udon, and then we'd gone to Tabor on the way up to my home in up in Isan. And in Tabor there was a Tesco Lotus, and it was big, and there was a bit of a market in there as well, and everybody knows how much I like my markets. And a little bit to the left, there was this place that was doing fried chicken, a shop that was doing fried chicken. You know, and being a chef myself, right, I'm looking at the already sort of fried chicken in the display cabinet, the hot display cabinet. And I'm thinking, I really quite like the idea of that. I quite like that. So I said, oh, can we sort of like stop off and have some fried chicken? And she said, yeah, of course, we had to do a few things. And it's sort of those typical sort of things, shopping, isn't it? And we do shopping, and we stop off and we go and look and have some fried chicken. Oh, this fried chicken was awesome. It was perfect. And the thing as well is just like, if anyone's sort of like breading or battering chicken, don't get me wrong, the skin of the chicken is nice. If you're roasting, it's a bit of a cookery thing now. If you're roasting a chicken, then it's nice, but put salt and pepper on, get that skin all nice and brown and roasted and sort of crackly to a point. But I don't like when all the herbs and spices and stuff are all put all over the chicken skin. You know, really, because you're just crumbing up and herbs and spice in the skin, really. But this place did it the way that I do it. I always take, whenever I'm sort of breading or battering up a chicken, I always take the skin off, you know. And this place did the same. And I must admit, the coating and the battering, it was absolutely perfect. So anyway, we go up to home, and of course, it's done slightly different, and you know, with this done with the skin on, and you know, other than sort of making it yourself, but you know, I like somebody else to sort of like do it for me. So it got to a stage where you know, obviously I'm laughing because it is funny, because Kong will say, "Ah, what do you want to do today?" And I say, I have an idea. And she'll say, "What idea?" And I say, "Go to Tabor and eat chicken." Because I love it, this particular lot of chicken, so much. And we'd go about two or three times a month, you know. My way would have been two or three times a week. And Kung didn't mind as well, because it's a bit of a balance, isn't it? Because we go to Tabor to eat chicken, and Tabor have a big shop. So she goes and looks around the shop. You know, the shop discos and the market, like I said. So it's a bit of a two-way thing, you know. But anyway, so happy that you can listen to us on our podcast. And please observe the rules in your countries. And stay safe. We love you all.